All right, we are here. Welcome. We have established a nice vortex for you so that you can release anything you do not want into it. It will spin out into light. Or if you wish to request anything of manifestation from your reality, just mentally send that out on the vortex as well. The only trick that we would suggest you remember whenever you use the vortex is that whatever you send out on the vortex, you must completely let go of, both negative and positive, as if you cannot even think of it in the next few minutes. Really let it all go. And then it is way more powerful for you. Today we speak on the higher planes, also can be known as the inner planes. There are ancient mystery schools, mystic schools, that have come down through the ages. They have come to you to hold the knowledge, the wisdom of the reconnection to home, to the union of God, Goddess, all that is. They are those repositories of the ancient knowledge, wisdom, and so forth that enable you to connect with the pathway of light and sound, the pathway of vibration, back home. You've been on a long journey. Long in the sense that you created time and stretched it out to seem like forever. A time in which you descended, quote unquote, which you reduced your vibration from the divine, from that oneness which you were in. But you were a young soul. You thought it would be exciting to grow fast. And rather than stay in the realms that are beyond time and space, you decided to embark upon an adventure into material reality, to create a playing field of illusion, for you to learn your creator skills, for you to experiment, to discover, most of all, to have fun and play. But as you did so, and as you descended your vibration, as you reduced your vibration and stepped out of the oneness into separation, you gradually began to forget that union. You began to forget who you were. Now, this was intentional. You thought it would be fun to forget who you were and to rediscover it in new and exciting ways. It's as if you were going to hide the truth all over the place in the illusion. And it would be like an Easter egg hunt for a child to go and find, where are the eggs? Where are the treasures? Where are the gems? It is part of your nature, your divine nature, that you love to grow, that you're curious. You want to know more. You want to know more of who you are, but you also want to know how to create, how to manifest. You want to craft a really great life for yourself, a wonderful, magical life experience. You want to learn how to live in the flow. All of these things are finally through the evolution of your reality possible. And only because those mystery schools, those repositories of the memories of who you are, of the connections and the pathways and the ways to return to home, are now becoming available. Available to everyone. Not just the initiated few. This is the time in which you can emerge as the light being, as the divine being that you are. To take this information, this wisdom, integrate it into your perspective, into your life, and go with it and discover really the fun and the creating that you came here to experience. Because that joy and that fun, that creating that you came for is really only available to you as you are on the way back. It's not available to you as you're moving down level by level, dimension by dimension, plane by plane, with your attention. Now, you exist on all dimensions and planes at once. What you brought into material world and what you work with is your attention. It is a focus of awareness that you have narrowed in order to suspend the eternity, to create a sense of movement, to create a sense of boundary known as time-space. To be able to enter into that in focus, pointed focus, precise focus. One of these focuses that you've chosen was to become a complete self. That complete self split into many focuses called lifetimes. You are in one of these lifetimes. You have narrowed your focus so much so that you can be right here in the moment, in the detail of a particular lifetime. Now, unbeknownst to you, when you come into a lifetime, you have forgotten a lot. Basically, your lifetime is remembering how to be a person, how to grow, how to be a human being. But as part of that program of awakening that everyone experiences, you have chosen a spiritual awakening. You have chosen something more. You have chosen to connect with this repository of wisdom remaining in what is known as the mystery schools to help broadcast it into your world. To help bring that understanding to your greater understanding in this particular lifetime, what we call a homegoing lifetime, so that you can learn to create and manifest and have fun here while still in physical form. This is what you came for. And until that time came that you made the turnaround, when you completed your so-called descent, when you found the darkest, most lonely place, and turned around by choice to return to the divine, that's when the fun began. Oh, of course, initially you have to get rid of some of the crap you took on. Some of the misunderstandings you decided to believe, some of the collective consensus mainstream reality that you chose to have as part of your playing field to teach you some of your elementary capacities for belief and learning. Much of it twisted, but you came here in the darkness to turn it around, to turn yourself around, to aim back homeward, to ascend back to home. And in so doing, unlock the great teachings of the mystery schools, and instead of just being teachings and great ideas, to experience them. To experience every lift of frequency, every expansion of light, to own it, to claim it for yourself, and to move back from the darkness back to the light. What was the furthest place you had to go? You have touched it in this lifetime. What your journey from the oneness into your lifetimes and lifetimes of experience is all encapsulated in every lifetime. Every lifetime is a process of beginning, growing, developments of certain themes, and what you learned from those themes and what expanded your awareness of yourself and what gave you greater capacity to create. You're in a lifetime now that process, which at the beginning touched you into the darkest, most remote place from the perception of the divine, you can turn it around, and you have to move towards the greatest perception of the divine that you can have in a physical body. That greatest darkness is the energy of shame, the vibration of shame. Shame is the feeling that you're flawed, you're defective, you're inadequate, you're not okay, and you probably never will be because you're just flawed by your nature. That you are not worthy of love, not deserving of value. You've been abandoned by the divine, and probably also by those here on this lifetime in this plane. The feeling of this incredible sense of alienation, separation, and loneliness. You have touched that place in this lifetime. That's as far as you can go. Down. That's the end of the descent. But for one whose intention is to return home, who has made that choice, and you have prior to this lifetime, coming into this lifetime at this particular time and space juncture on the planet, to get this wisdom, to lift out of that dark place of shame, to heal it, to turn your life and your consciousness towards the light without hindrance. Hindrances being those emotional issues that tend to snag you, issues given you by your parents, by the consensus reality, by the archetypal collective. That in a lifetime like this, not only do you step out of and beyond your own personal shame, but you also are in the process of healing the collective shame by doing so. You're healing the planet as well as yourself. And as you do this, your journey homeward truly accelerates. Now, the mystery schools, they are several branches, but the one that most people are connected to, the one that has given the most to your consensus collective reality, has come through the country of India. India was, in a sense, given a mission to keep this information alive. That was because Egypt failed to do so. That's because the Celts, the Druids in Great Britain, failed to do so. Because the Aboriginals, who were met with great technology in South America, such as Peru, in Australia, in the Middle East, in other parts of the planet, were unable, through their own mission, to be able to maintain and sustain the option in their culture. Now, we're not saying that the Indian culture itself, the collective, the archetypal consensus of India, has this great mystery school orientation, has all of that information. Absolutely not. But it remains in the mystic bases of the most prevalent religious groups there. The Sufis had it in the Middle East. The Sikhs have it in their mystic background. They even remember the great masters as the great gurus or teachers of their religion, thinking naively that there were only 10 gurus, starting with famous Guru Nanak. There have been a continuation of gurus. There are still gurus in that lineage present on the planet today, as well as Sufi. There are Sufi masters present on the earth today. There are many stories about the young Jesus traveling to the East to study in the mystery schools. There's all sorts of suggestions that he did that. We would suggest there were many from the Middle East who traveled, who were part of mystic groups, such as those that Jesus and others belonged to, who did travel to the East. And we would suggest, yes, Jesus did that. It was part of the training of someone who came, who chose to come to be a teacher, who chose to come and bring the connection to the light, to the divine. And yes, he went to India because the great wisdom that came through Lemuria, came through Atlantis, had been lost. It when Atlantis went down, the great mystery schools were established in places where the Atlanteans, some of the Lemurians and Syrians and so on landed and brought their information. Various places on the planet, many places actually. But they faded out, they disappeared, and it became part of myth. But it still remains alive in the mystic religions of India today. Many people go to India on pilgrimages to sit with gurus, but not knowing whether they are getting that homeward reconnection or not. But there are fully realized human beings who know, who fully know the path of connection to the divine, and who can share it with others. What is so interesting is that this information has made it out into books, into derivative teachings, and so on, which is overall increasing the tremendous receptivity to the true information, to the true connection. You may not see it as such because, of course, there also has risen with it a resistance movement to the mystical approach. There's been science and there has been fundamental religion or conservative religion. So it may not be apparent to you how much different your culture is in as a whole than it was 30, 50, 100 years ago. But this acceleration of connection, of people connecting through their free will, through their choice, through their opening to the mystic experience, is changing the whole world for everyone and making these mystic approaches, the mystery schools, available. Piece by piece, you are the teachers of the early lessons to others. As you become more advanced, you can share more advanced lessons, so to speak. You're participating directly and consciously in the evolution of your own soul and also of the planet. Now, these mystic masters teach a way home. I teach a way home through the various frequency or resonant levels through which you descended. They're the ones who remember how you got here, and they remember these planes of frequency. They are the ones who are remembering and bringing you the connections. So let us speak a little bit first of these inner planes or higher planes. You know that you exist on the physical plane. This is perhaps what is considered to be the most base, the most gross, the most dense. This is not dense in substance, but dense in lack of feeling and sensing here on the physical. It does not mean that it is not a spiritual place. Do not judge the physical. It is where you intended to come. This was the place, a place demarcated within the fourth dimension of time-space, where you worked in 3D, in the virtual reality zone, to learn your basic skills. You had to work down to it. And we're going to tell you the way back. It's just the reverse of the way down. Now, in the physical plane, very few people really see much beyond the physical. Very few people can connect in an ordinary, everyday way with fourth dimension, fifth dimension, and on up. You basically removed your awareness of that so that you could truly focus on physical plane materiality. But there is enough spirit to enliven you. Your spirit is still plugged in. Your soul is still plugged in here. The memory of the whole way home is within you. You are complete. What is remaining is for you to be able to expand your focus of attention, to become aware of these higher planes. and in the awareness of what these higher planes bring to you, what they're about, how they fit in, you can access connections to and start cleaning out the debris or the obstacles that are between you and the experience of this pathway home. A joyous path, a path that is not a path of separation, but a path, you might say, of brotherhood and sisterhood. As you return up the path, you become less isolated, less alone, less lonely. And you have more and more companions until there comes some day. And you may have already had this type of experience even here and now already, where you've discovered that you and everything else on this planet in 3D is conscious. It's all part of the same stuff. And when you get that, it erases separation. It erases loneliness. Physical plane is the plane where you have experienced loneliness, separation to the greatest degree in that energy of shame. Now, we've gone into detail on healing shame in other events, and we would refer your attention to those on healing shame, on getting rid of all sorts of debris and obstacles within you, so that you can clear your pathway home. So we're not going to go into that today. But what we wish to discuss is that it is becoming more and more apparent to you, if you pay attention, that your consciousness is expanding at a very high velocity, at a very high rate. And you're becoming more aware of things that are not able to be measured by the simple senses of the physical body. You're beginning to allow in your thinking and in your experience more magic, more synchronicities, more non-tangible things, recognizing more and more that that intangible is the way home. Gives you your orientation, tells you where you're at on your journey. From the physical plane, you begin to explore. You begin to bend and twist time and space. We have another event coming up about that in particular, which gives you a doorway from the physical plane of your consciousness. That's for your consciousness, not necessarily mean you have to die. Yeah, that's one way to leave the physical plane. It's a kind of a force-fed way to leave the physical plane is to die. Then your soul does have to ascend to a certain extent. It will ascend to that place of which whatever vibration it matches. At the time of death, generally people will move into the next plane up, and that's called the astral plane. The astral plane, called astral because it is a plane filled with stars. You're probably aware that when you work with us, we often refer you to this experience, bring you into this experience where you're floating in a field of stars, a sky filled with stars. That is, in essence, the astral plane. That's where you can, through your imagination, sense something that is not physically existing and measurable. where you can begin to lift outside the boundaries of the physical, to slip outside this time-space limitation through your imagination. The astral plane is actually part of your aura, you might say. The focus being your physical body. You are not your physical body, but your focus is here, so that you can live a lifetime. But you have a physical body, you have an emotional body. This emotional body connects to what is called the astral plane. Now, the astral plane, being so close to the physical, if you go to visit the astral plane, those people who do astral travel will find what is commonly referred to heaven. Heaven is a really pretty, pretty version of the physical plane. On the astral plane, there are several levels. Just as you have chakras, seven major chakras on the physical body, you have seven levels on the astral plane. Very similar, in a sense, chakras of the astral body. You have a body. When you're moving into the astral plane, you have an astral body. It's a body made of particles of light. You can see it when you have astral flight. You can see particles of light, or you can see a kind of a luminescent form or shape that looks like a regular human being, but it happens to kind of gently glow, because it's made of these particles of light. If you go close and examine the light body, the astral body of anyone, even yourself, if you get really, really close to it, it all begins to break up into little particles of light. And once again, you're in the starry sky, in the microcosm, in a sense. Your focus, higher, moving through the astral plane, the lower astral, or the lower levels of the seven levels of the astral plane, are the ones dealing with the darkest emotions. In order to really function in the astral plane, you have to clear out those dark emotions. You have to clear out limiting emotional states. Most people in the physical try to ignore their emotional states, especially if they're unpleasant. There are often people who are afraid of positive emotional states. They're too disorienting. In the astral plane, wherever your emotional body is, that's the first place you're going to go when you die, or when you go in meditation and you lift your consciousness out of physicality. You're going to go to the place, the first landing place, is in the astral plane. It's the next plane up. It's your next stepping stone home. And you're going to go whichever level is comparable to the level of cleanliness, purity, and balance of your emotional body. What's really fascinating is that you can, in a way, by extreme meditation — by extreme, we mean really diligent, focused meditation — to gain powers known as siddhis, powers over the physical plane, and impress the heck out of other people. But if you don't do your emotional clearing, your emotional healing, you're going to get tangled up in the lower astral. You're going to have beings who are living in the lower astral. You're going to have these beings come and hang around with you. It's a common situation for people who are alcoholics, serious alcoholics or drug addicts, to be possessed by lower astral entities who want to experience the high, or experience the drug states, or experience physical pain again, because on an emotional level they never dealt with their pain. They never dealt with their emotional issues. And they're hovering around the earth because they can't get further up. They can't get in the fun places of the astral. So they get really focused and hang around the earth. And they'll jump into somebody who's in a drug-induced stupor because that person's aura, that person's energy field, gets split open, giving access to the astral plane. Why do you think people want to get high in the first place? It gives them a temporary reprieve from emotional pain and a kind of a hint of the astral, a hint of the way home, a hint. Generally, it's a first hit, it's a kind of a blissful hit of the high, even if it's a downer, even if it's like booze or whatever. There's a first hit that feels really good. But then after that, there becomes a greater craving. In that craving, there's an attraction that is set up into the lower astral, because that's their vibrational orientation in the next step up. When they lift in their quote-unquote high, they go to the astral low. This is a place also called the hell worlds, or just simply hell. These are people who have, in their lifetimes, never dealt with their love, their capacity for love, that they turned their back on their spirituality, that one way or another they never dealt with their emotional debris. And so when you leave here at the time of death, if you haven't dealt with your emotions, you'll go there. They can be bypassed, as we said, by great meditators. So there are lots of gurus out there who have not really completed their emotional healing and their emotional balance. But they can impress the heck out of you. And they can lift you to really good states of high. But they don't necessarily protect you from lower astral entities. And you can think that you're on the way home, that you are ascending into regions of bliss. But if you don't do your own emotional work, the astral plane does not become bliss. At worst, it can be hell. And at best, without your emotional training, it becomes pretty. It's a pretty nice place. You don't feel unhappy, but you're not going anywhere. It's just kind of like being here on this earth, there. And with the positive benefit that you don't necessarily get sick and do all those kinds of things. You don't seem to suffer it, but it's just kind of a mediocre place. It's just like here. In fact, there are people working on the astral plane, having jobs, all that kind of stuff. But that's not homeward bound. What you want to go do is work on your emotional body to learn how to love, to heal the shame, to own the value of yourself and the light of every other human being. If you can acknowledge the divine, even to a minor condition, minor capacity in everyone, and be able to not take things so personally, to be able to love and have compassion for yourself and others, you're going to go into high astral. High astral is blissful. It is beautiful. There are beautiful cities of gleaming white shining on mountain tops. And the background, it's as if there's a beautiful music continuously playing. Fragrances, awesome fragrances. Exquisite beauty everywhere. and a sense of peace and joy and bliss. Most people think, this is it. I made it. Because there's no sense of loneliness there. However, that's just the astral. At the top of the astral is a great sun, a great light. Some people call it the central sun in a lot of the Aboriginal shamanic traditions. There has been what is called sun worship. That's the sun at the top of the astral. It's a higher dimension of your physical sun, a higher plane of your physical sun. And it is the life giver. Now, there, at that location, it is the domain of what is called the White Brotherhood. In the mystery school jargon, these are those who maintain the physical plane, maintain Earth, make sure that it functions correctly, and kind of rescues humans from their most dangerous mistakes. If this rescue had not been done, this planet would have been destroyed as far as capacity for human life already. More than once, too. But the White Brotherhood will intervene. They are here to keep, in a sense, order, a sense of divine order going, to maintain this whole illusion, this whole playing field, so that you can enjoy and learn and grow and discover. Now, the White Brotherhood are not focused upon your return home. They are focused upon living a good, happy life here, in the astral and on the physical. They're about improving your life. It's as if you're, there's a guy, gets sentenced to jail, and he goes to jail. And the jailer, whoever the supervisor is, needs to make sure that he has his food, his bed, and he gets his hour of exercise or whatever, and oversees the running of this prison. We're making a metaphor, of course, of the physical plane as a prison, because it does have limitations, tremendous limitations. You wanted them. You wanted to play with them. You're not being punished for anything by being here. Au contraire, you came to planet Earth specifically because of the great change, the great shift that's going on. That, for you, was exciting. You've been planning for this for a long time. But the jailer has to make sure that everything runs properly. That's the astral plane. That's kind of like the king of the astral plane, the head honcho of the astral plane, the sun lord, you might call him, oversees that everything is in order and works. If, however, you have a desire to return home, and you have even an idea, even a sense of connection that there is more, that you can go further, you can move beyond the astral plane. You can get help. It normally requires a certain amount of help. Without any kind of assistance, essentially speaking, you can go back and forth between the astral and the physical, lifetime after lifetime, have a great time on the other side, enjoy it, go to concerts of angels, have a fabulous, fabulous experience there, and then every now and then come down back and do a particular theme or focus on something in the physical, go back to the astral and live in the heaven worlds and happy, happy, happy. You know, the Christians have this kind of mythological picture of strumming harps on praising God. You know? Oh, yes, it's going to be beautiful through eternity, strumming your harps and praising God. You know. Well. But nevertheless, it is a cycle that goes there. If you are able to connect with someone who connects beyond the astral plane, who has connections to the next plane up and the plane after that, you can get assistance to move, to evolve beyond the astral plane into what is called the causal plane. Next dimension up. The causal plane is also found in your aura, in reflection, known as, it is known as your mental body. It is the body of cause and effect. It's where you evaluate things, analyze things, set up time and structure things and create things and put things together and line things up. This is the plane that where when people talk about karma, this is the plane where that comes from. In the causal plane, it is your choice as to what you like to put together. When you are very evolved and you die, you're able to see the pieces of yourself. It's like little bubbles separating into points of light. And you're able to select points of light here and points of light over there and points of light over there and put them all together and say, here, this is what I think I'd like to do. And that might precipitate a really incredible lifetime. Even in the astral plane, you're sitting there in the heaven worlds and you're thinking, oh, it's time to go back down. You meet with your team, your advisory board, who talk about good potential lifetimes that you could explore so that you could address the themes that you want to address, to explore the experiences. And they're the ones who will go into your causal level and find the best cause and effects for you. Or in some people's terms, to line up your karma for the particular lifetime. And they will make you some suggestions and you will work with them and say, okay, this looks like really what I want to get into this lifetime. But they are the ones that work on that causal level with you. When you get to the causal level, you can work on that yourself. And when you do that, you're at a much higher level that should you come back to physical plane experience, you can come back so much more evolved, so much more empowered, so much freer, so much more loving, so much clearer about the divine throughout your lifetime. Because you have gone to another stage or another evolutional level. Causal plane does not resemble the physical plane. It does in some features of it. It can have terrain. It can have cities. It can have beautiful nature. But it is more what you might say broken up into sacred geometry. It's, you can see the actual geometric patterns. You can see the patterns of reality there. And you live in them. You can see the multicolored layers and structures and thought forms that people live in. If you have access to the causal plane, you can look at a person and identify what thought forms, what ideas crystallized into a body of belief is affecting that person. Tremendously useful in creating tremendous healing. It is so sublime on the causal plane, and it is so exquisitely beautiful in the sacred geometrical context. It's a sense of absolute harmony. complexity, but in harmony. It is exquisite. That when people get there, they think, oh, well, this must be it. This is the end. This is fantastic. I'm in ecstasy. I feel like I'm in bliss all day long. This must be it. But if you have help who can go beyond that causal plane, you can get an idea that, yes, I want to keep going until I am absolutely in union with the divine. And you will get the help. And you will move beyond. You will lift in vibration. See, the physical, astral, causal planes all exist right here now. Because when you get outside of space-time limitations, you're not aware that they're just differences in vibrations. And where is your attention but on the physical? You're listening to us. Your brain is taking it in. You're inside yourself. You may be responding with a little bit of emotion and feeling. You're accessing your astral. You may be thinking about the idea and plugging it into your belief systems and thinking how it all fits, or getting engrossed in an idea, and you're connecting and linking to your own causal plane. They're here right now with you all the time. But when you lift beyond the causal plane, beyond the geometric constructs, beyond the spiritual mathematics, you lift into what is called the super causal or the super mental. And this particular plane, we're talking now about the fourth one up, this particular plane, when people go there, they think, oh, now this must be it. This is way more. It's like every cell of my body is in ecstasy and bliss. Oh, it can't get any better than this. Where you go there is, in a sense, the greater collective. There's where you can connect with beings all over your universe. You become one of the family of spirit, family of many different kinds of souls. You're beyond the limitations of cause and effect. Your limitations that exist there in the supercausal or supermental planes is by very high levels, very delicate levels of belief. And the belief is mainly about you. You don't believe you're God. You don't believe that you are fully divine yet. You are in ecstasy. You are in bliss. You know that you are a great light being. You have power over the cause and effect. You have power over time, space. You have power over the physical plane and the emotions. Because you've done all that work. You're beyond it now. But you still get caught up in what we would call a collective. You think it's the oneness. It's not there yet. But this is where the mystery schools are established. The greater mystery schools. This is where the ancient mystic teachings are generally established. It's kind of their headquarters. And from there, they send people back down to physical plane to be the spiritual teachers. If you choose to come back, when you reach that place, you will come back very high, a spiritual teacher, a spiritual master. But you're not connected fully into the union of the divine. if you have support and help, if you have a teacher who goes beyond the fourth plane. Beyond the fourth plane is the fourth plane is the boundary of your universe. It's the boundary of matter. It's the boundary of the concept of your universe. In your particular universe, it's a free will concept. It's a very exciting experimental universe. There's lots of other universes. This is just one. And when you get into that fourth plane, you get to travel all over the universe. There's no limitation for you there. You're very free. But if you have a teacher who is beyond, if you know someone who goes beyond, beyond all matter, because there's still matter there, there's still mind stuff in fourth plane. It's not so dense and dull as mind stuff down physical or astral or causal, but it's still mind stuff. It's still considered materiality. And as such, you can still have a sense of separateness as an ego. You can still have a limiting motion here and there, occasionally. But it mainly comes with a limiting belief. Now, it's very easy to break there. It's very easy to free yourself there. But you want to go beyond the furthest reach of ego and separation. Your journey is to union with the divine. And for that, you need someone who can assist you, who can say, hey, you know, I know the way. And you can go with to leave that fourth plane, to step outside your universe and to move into the fifth plane. The fifth plane is the first plane. There are many planes. But the fifth plane is the first plane in your return to the divine, in which there's no more materiality, no more mind stuff, no more separation of any kind. No more of the archetypal, of the collective. It is the first plane of pure soul light. When you enter the fifth plane, your teacher who is bringing you, who is showing you the way, who you are loving incredibly, because it's love that takes you there. It's love that brings you up the planes. But more precisely, to get to the fifth plane, you have to feel and own love on a level you have no clue about in the physical body. And that is why in the Eastern traditions, in India, for example, that devotion to the guru is so important. Now, Western minds look at the devotion to the guru as being a whole ego trip. And they see the devotion of the student as being some way of sacrificing and submitting themselves or making themselves less worthy. And if you notice in conservative religious groups, they consider that humans are pretty basically schmucks and that they have to grovel and pray and beg God to give them stuff. And that's, of course, an approach that's oriented through the filters of shame, which you've gotten rid of by the time you get up there. Instead, what happens is that your love for your teacher, your love for your guru, for the one who is your guide, becomes such that you and your guide become one. It's the ultimate aim of all the mystic schools, that the student love the guru and at some point becomes one. steps into the guru and becomes the guru. Because the guru really is not a body. The guru is not a personality. A real, true, authentic guru who goes to fifth plane no longer truly has personality. They're just too aware. It's tough to bring that much consciousness into a physical body, but they do a piece of it. But when you go from fourth to fifth plane, you see the complete, you see your guru in all their glory, beyond the physical, beyond the emotional, beyond the mental stuff. Beyond time, space, you see the fullness, the light of soul. And the light of soul is equal, it is said, to the light of 9 suns. If you were to take the sun in the sky, pretty bright. If you looked at it very long, you'd go blind. It's just too bright for your body to handle looking at it with those delicate, you know, rods and cones in your eyes. But when you get there, your soul is 9 suns worth of brightness. Now that's pretty intense. Now you've been all the way up. You've been connected to bright light. The sun, the great sun at the top of the astral plane, is way brighter. Must be 2-3 times as bright as your sun. When you can see that bright sun, it will burn off your dross. It'll burn off your karma. It'll burn off of you all the stuff that limits you. As you move through the planes, the causal and the mental, supermental planes, your guru may, your teacher may present themselves much as the sun, and encourage you to go to the sun, to enter the sun. And as you go to that sun and enter the sun, it becomes a portal for the next level up. On the way to that sun, and this is generally done in meditation, the dross is cleaned off of you so that you're cleaned, so that you're pure, and so that your vibration is high enough that you can use the guru as the portal, step through, and you'll be in the next plane or the next level. When you reach the fifth, this is where you and your guru become one. Your guide and you are one. You see no distinction. The love is so complete. And it is if you step into this guide, this guru, this teacher, with that love, becoming one, and you step into it and turn around and look through their eyes, and then you realize that you and the guru, that the guru is just a part of you. It's an aspect of you. You'll realize that you are everything. And this is the first place of union with the divine. It's where you are in your fullness, in your wholeness. You know who you are, and you actually can own it with no doubt whatsoever, in the bliss and incredible sense of love. You can look back upon your whole universe with tremendous compassion, and you can see the other universes as well. Each one its own vibrational range, each one its color, its tone, its the most amazing uniqueness. They're like eggs floating around each universe. But when you're there, this is the union of the divine you are seeking, because when you and your guru are one, you're home. It's the beginning of home. Now, as we say, there are many other planes. But from this fifth plane, then, you no longer have any, there's no involvement with birth and death, no involvement with the material worlds, with mind stuff, You are the creator. But from there, you can still keep going to planes that where you know more of the divine. Now, a lot of people have this fixed idea that, you know, that there's God and there's humans. And the idea of getting up there and really becoming one with God is like, okay, now I'm home, this is it. I can sit back now. But the thing is that if you notice your nature is always to grow, to learn, to go through changes, to discover stuff, well, you have that tendency because that's natural to God, to God, Goddess, all that is. That's the nature of the divine, is to create as well, to create and imagine and dream. So guess what? God is way further on. God, Goddess, all that is continuously creating more planes, continually going to higher and higher levels and frequencies and planes and so on, giving all of you who are following more and more bliss, more and more experience of yourself as the gods that you are. Of course, here in the fifth plane, there is no ego because there is no separateness. This is home. It's a beginning of home. It's a beginning of your godhood, conscious, empowered godhood. That's your journey. That's the higher planes as we wish to discuss them. And know that you're on that journey. You can access those higher planes even now. In your personal development and spiritual growth, when you focus on healing your emotions, getting to the place to where your inner mind talk and self-talk all day long is filled with thoughts and feelings of beauty, of power, of love. And you know, you're getting your astral plane pretty well taken care of. If then you also find that your beliefs and your thoughts and feelings are responding to very freeing beliefs, giving you opportunity to allow miracles in your life, to open to and receive the magic, and to expect and anticipate magic, the synchronicities of events to flow in a beautiful and harmonious divine way for you, with full implicit trust in your own divine plan, you're clearing the causal plane. You can live in the present moment and experience the bliss of now. You can feel the oneness between you and all things. You're tapping into the supermental plane. When you can embrace all as yourself that are in this material world. If you are also the rocks, the trees, the sky, the ocean, as well as every person, every animal, every plant, the super causal is your connection. When you move into the fifth plane, into that full, complete Christ consciousness, you feel the Christed consciousness in that fourth plane because you have love and compassion for all. And when you step into the fifth plane, then you can create a universe of your own if you wish. It's up to you what you wish to do. You're the divine one now. This is home. And one of the ways to tap into fifth plane, to put like a little hook up there, to pull yourself up there, is to develop a relationship with the divine. The divine exists within you. To look for the divine inside yourself and to request the connection with the divine with others, so that your teachers in your physical plane life can lift you further and further up, can connect you eventually to the one who can give you access to the fifth plane. As we say, every time you go up a new plane, you think that's the end. Oh, I feel so happy. This must be it. That's why you need a teacher, someone who can say, wait a minute, no, there's more. There's more. And you'll start hankering for more. Yeah, more bliss, more love, more joy. And then you will go further. So never, ever settle. Always look for more love, more joy. This is your pathway home.